This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Yesterday was, as you just heard, the 60th anniversary of Alan Shepard becoming the first American in space. And now we have everyday citizens on the verge of following in his footsteps. That's an amazing story when you think about it. As always, we have a unique insight from Paul Osborne, the City Hall insider, publisher of the Decatur Tribune and former mayor of Decatur. It is amazing to me, Paul. I was not alive for the first trip for an American in space, but you were. And we think back and look back at those days and the technology they were using versus what's at our disposal today. And it's light years ahead. But did you think that you would see in your lifetime just American citizens heading to space?
No. Good morning, Brian. No. Of course, I was pretty young at the time, too, but I certainly remember people gathered around the radio at that time, even more than TV, listening, to that, and people looking at each other. And when Alan Shepard made it basically a brief flight compared to everything now, it was just like people are saying, wow, how far can this go? Isn't that amazing? And then it kind of had a stunned look. And I think when you think now of how short a flight that was, but it was one step towards, a lot of great things happening later on, even a few tragic things. It's that way with anything else. I think when you start something new and when a step is taken in a certain direction, no one knows for certain how far that step is going to lead to a path that goes on and on. And I think in the space program, it's had its ups and downs. But back at that time, it was pure excitement. As I remember as a young man, listening to it on the radio with several other people.
Yeah, 15-minute flight on May 5th, 1961. He was a 37-year-old Mercury astronaut, former Navy test pilot, and in his silver spacesuit. and the country was captivated, and we came together to root for something. And I feel like today, I don't know what it will take to get people to come together as Americans. It's a sad thing for me to see that we don't think about our countrymen, our fellow citizens, the same as we do or as we did then. Now you're just an avatar, you're a profile pic, you're somebody to argue with about even the tiniest minutia of life. We just don't rally the way we used to rally as a country.
Yeah, and I miss that. And we have a lot of great people, a lot of good people. Majority of people are very unselfish people, but there's a divide in this country that, it pains you, knowing the history and living a lot of the history, in my case, of this country, and seeing us go through times of turmoil and seeing the country come together as one. And I don't know, I was driving my car the other day on the radio. Some music was playing, this was later at night, and Lee Greenwood's song, "I'm Proud to Be an American." It kind of inspired me. It just like, yeah, what happened to that? What happened to that?
I know, but there are people out there right now, Paul, that will use that anthem as a one of defiance, saying, you're not going to tell me what to do, and I'm not going to get with the program, and I'm going to defy all that is in front of us. More people have died in the past year of COVID, more Americans than died in World War II, and yet today, as we speak on this Thursday morning, there are people listening right now that absolutely refuse to think of it anything as outside of the flu.
Yeah, and that's a big disappointment for me, and I think it's a disappointment for someone like yourself and myself who really love this community, and we have great, great people here, and those people are responding to need in so many ways, but I guess it pains me, if I can use that phrase, that we have a lot of people in this community, they're ignoring the ramifications of not being a participant in this. You know, this is something that you can do for your community and your nation. You know, get vaccinated, get those numbers up of the people being vaccinated, and it takes it. What are you asked to do for your community or your country? You know, go back to what President Kennedy asked. You know, basically saying, you know, ask what you can do for your country, not what your country can do for you. What can you do for your community? You know, what is being asked of you to do for this community to keep us safer and move us forward, you know, as one unit is so small. I don't know how anything less could be asked of you to contribute in a meaningful way. And yet there are people who ignore it. And I kind of have to shake my head almost at times when I see people going on their own way, not wearing a mask and not paying any attention to any, not even having a mask with them. And if they do, they have it in their pocket because they say, I got a mask, it's in my pocket. I don't think there's any scientific research that says a mask in your pocket is going to prevent anything. And I'm disappointed in that. I am. And I'm a pretty conservative guy, and certainly over the years, my faith and my politics have been pretty conservative. But when it comes to the health of other people, you know, there is no conservative or liberal. There's no left or right. It's just something we do as an American, someone who feels the pain of other people. And we see so many people who have suffered with COVID. We see businesses that have suffered financial losses and may never come back. You know, what can you do to help? You know, it's very simple what you can do. And once you even do that, once you even help out, when all of us, you know, who have studied this and done research on this, there's a preponderance of research and scientific evidence that this is the way, this is the tool we use to battle COVID. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to use it or not and make all of us safer. And there are just people that will not. And I don't understand it.
I don't either. Let's talk about the City Beat. You are the City Hall insider, and I know you used a great deal of your column today, available in the newspaper online at DecaturTribune.com, thanking Pat McDaniel for his years of service.
Yeah, and Pat was a reporter for the Tribune for about 10 years before he was elected to City Council, and then, of course, he couldn't be a reporter for the Tribune anymore. And as I wrote in there, I really kind of first met Pat when I was running for mayor, and Pat was an opponent, one of my opponents in the primary, and got to know him a little bit then. But after he lost in the primary and I moved on to the general election, Pat immediately, you know, came over, and you probably remember too, you're on my campaign committee and joined the campaign committee. He distributed a lot of signs, and I thought that showed a lot of class. He wasn't bitter over not winning, but he wanted to help somebody else win. And so that relationship has existed, you know, down through the years. Haven't always agreed with what he's done, but we've never had a council member, in my experience, in all the years I've covered council or been mayor, who's attended more events in about every neighborhood in the city and been in more places than Pat. He's just, he would be there if no other council person was there, and sometimes even the mayor would not be. Pat would be there. And I think for 10 years of service, of dedicated service to health issues and everything else, he deserves a big pat on the back, a pat for Pat, I guess, because he was devoted to public service. He ran a couple times before he's even elected, and he finally made it, and he took it seriously. He's also the liquor commissioner, and finally mayor pro tem. His seniority took him to next to the mayor's position, and when Julie was out of town, Pat filled in. So he's played several roles in the last 10 years.
And, you know, as of Monday night, then we have Ed Culp, who will replace Pat, and then, of course, the two reelected council members. What do you make of the story breaking this week, billboards going up, Howard G. Buffett for sheriff in 2022? It seems strange that we still don't know the official outcome of the last race for sheriff 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, you know, that Howard, you know, and I know Howard, but I don't know him that well or have frequent conversations with him as you and some others do. So that was unexpected. And as I was driving in one morning, I saw the billboard like only minutes after I read the news release. So I think, you know, I think that happened by mistake, those billboards, you know, going up early. But I think the ridiculous aspect of this whole thing is that the last election hasn't even been decided. You know, we're 2.5 years past the last election for sheriff, and we don't really officially know at this point who won. And that's still up in the air. And I don't know if that's going to be resolved before the next election or not. I guess it wouldn't prevent either candidate for the in the last election from running again. But I think Howard Buffett's decision to run for sheriff again, I can understand. I think he certainly is attached to the sheriff's department and has quite a history with it now. He was interim sheriff, did a great job in those months after Tom Snyder retired. But what did kind of surprise me, and then I got to thinking about it, well, you know, maybe it isn't such a big surprise. Maybe as early as it is, it surprised me.
Yeah, I you know, I'm sure there's strategy there, you know, by announcing early, you know, not that you control the field, but you make your intentions known, and that probably factors into other people's decisions about whether they're going to run or not.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're going to run against, well, you know, regardless of who officially won the last election, you know, those are both going to be pretty strong candidates when you run neck and neck in the election. Comes down to just one or a few votes on deciding who won. Both of them had very strong following. And Howard, as I understand it, will run as a Republican. So if Jim Root decides to run again, you know, they'll face each other in the primary. And there may be others. I don't know. But overall, it's certainly going to make the sheriff's race even more interesting the next time around. And hopefully the judge will make his decision. And I don't understand why that decision takes so long. All the votes have been counted and recounted, and now it's basically up to a judge to say yes or no. This person won, this person did not win. And I don't understand why it takes weeks to get that job done. You talk about the wheels of justice moving slowly. As I wrote in my column, there are 4 flat tires on this decision. It's not moving at all. And that needs to be resolved so the community can move forward. And the present sheriff and the challenger, they can know for sure and move forward with their lives, too, and plan their strategy for the next election.
Yeah, and I think also the inner dynamics of both of those men having, you know, support inside of that department probably has not led to, you know, great camaraderie there. Being, you know, as this thing is dragged out and out and out and out, not allowing people to come to some sort of closure and deal with the reality.
Well, and too, as I wrote, you know, you tell people and you encourage people to get out to vote and say, your vote counts. Every vote counts. Well, in the sheriff's race, how soon is it going to count? You know, it was close. And I think when people make their decision on which candidate they want and it's checked and been rechecked and there's a decision to be made, it's not fair to the voters to have it lingering out there. It's not fair to either candidate for that office from 2.5 years ago. It's not fair to the present sheriff to have a cloud hanging over his head, like some people who supported his opponent would say, yeah, but you really didn't win. You know, he needs to have closure on this, too, to say, yes, you were the winner. Or if Jim won, he needs to, you know, be declared the winner. And I don't know if they're dragging this out to the next election or what, but it just
I don't
not
have any
right.
idea. I am sure, as you said, the wheels of justice turn slowly, and I'm sure the pandemic, you know, and the things that we've had to do in that have not helped anything. But you're right; it's time to get the official news out there. Paul, have a wonderful and fantastic week and weekend, and we appreciate you as always, Paul Osborne, the City Hall insider publisher of the Decatur Tribune, former mayor of Decatur.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.